Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 104 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling, a podcast network. You can follow us on X and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. Listen to us on all of your favorite podcast apps and leave us a five-star review. And if you're feeling generous, you can always donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard, back here with Paul. And Paul, big question for you as we start off. Are you going to be seeing Katsuhiko Nakajima when he comes to Germany in the end of September?
Yeah. So fun fact, I actually already had like a hotel booked. So I didn't have tickets booked yet for WXW, but I already had like a hotel booked in Oberhausen because like normally I like to stay in Düsseldorf because Oberhausen sucks. But apparently there's like that weekend of like the big WXW like weekend, there is a Backstreet Boys concert in Düsseldorf. So it was literally unaffordable. So I was like, okay, in that case, I might as well just lock something in with like free cancellation in Oberhausen just in case I decide to go. And now that Nakajima is going to be there, I'm like, okay, now I kind of have to go. Now I have to go. I'm just trying to decide kind of what category I'm going to get. If I'm going to get like the just like the evening pass and then decide like closer to the event if I'm going to get any of the like additional shows, or if I want to spend like more money to like get the to basically get the like the what's it called again the ticket for the whole festival. So you have like all of the like ancillary shows included as well. But yes, I will be going. I just need to decide if I want to spend the like 270 euros to get the evening pass for like rows 2 or 3, or if I want to pay 70 euros more and get the festival pass, but it's only like row 4. So
And Nakajima will also be in Milan on October 30th for SAJ Wrestling, which I found out stands for Squash a Jobber. This is hardly the first Italian wrestling company to have just bizarre promotion names.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess you're doing a bit of a European tour. I'm curious if you'll end up in France, but nothing has been announced yet. Well, Paul, does he think this has anything? Or because it's not that Nakajima's never done international stuff before. I mean, he's been in Ring of Honor. He did, I think, some American dates a couple of years ago. But do you think that this means anything else? Like, he can't get job dates in
Japan? It might be. I mean, right, it's not like he would be the only, like, Japanese guy that's doing that. I mean, it's what Shigehiro Irie was doing for a while there, where he was like working more in Europe than he was in like Japan at times. And I mean, I mean, Naito literally just did the 16 karat, like same with Bushi.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear that like a lot of like Japanese guys see this as like a good opportunity. I think especially because you can't really do tours of the US right now because you're going to get fucked by immigration. So I think, and with the yen as weak as it is, like really your only choice if you want to like go abroad and make some money and like a currency that is worth more than your own, Europe's kind of your only choice.
Right.
Right. Yep. So I think that like Ada is obviously like good. I think at this point, WXW has like very clearly developed a really good reputation with Japanese wrestlers just based on the fact that they keep bringing them in constantly. And yeah, I think it's just a easier way for them to make money than like go to like the US and risk like getting deported to Nicaragua.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll start off. Quickly start off with Big Japan. Big Japan 31 Beyond the Survivor. Now, this was another annual May 5th show. They had to settle for April 29th at Yokohama Budokan in front of 1,255 fans, which is actually down from last year. So not a good sign.
I like a lot. Like it's like 400 people less.
Yeah. So that's not good. And that's not good. A good sign for Big Japan as they've continued to shed wrestlers, although they are trying to do something on this show.
I think actually specifically this show, like because like one of the reasons why they are always like able to draw so many more fans for this than for like all of their other shows is that the tickets for this, I think, are like dirt cheap, basically.
Yes, that's, I think, the gimmick that they've been doing lately. Just make a much cheaper tickets instead of drawing like, I don't know, 800 people.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But if that's not even working anymore, then yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. So I wasn't going to sit here and watch the whole show, all 5 hours of it. But I will just say that I watched Fubunori Abe defeating Ryuma Sekimo in 9:49 with the Octopus Hold. Good, solid match. I got to say, I only watched one death match, and it was the barbed wire board plus weapon bringing death match. Oh, no, sorry. That's not it. It was the tag team title, BJAW tag team title, TLC death match where Toru Segura and Kazumi Kakuta defeated Yuko Miyamoto and Isami Kodaka in 1815 with the bird strike with a missile board from Kakuta on Kodaka. And this was actually not a bad little match.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, these are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They actually wrestled this on like the, you know, your Abdullah Kobayashi and Ryuji Inoue at this point, who just smashed each other with stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even dare to try to watch Abdullah Kobayashi versus
Minoru. I was about to ask you if you even were like attempting it and you just hand-waved
it. Not convinced me to watch that. But I did watch for the junior heavyweight title, Kosuke Sato defeating Tatsuki Nagao in 1915 by referee stop of the front nut clock, making his sixth defense of the junior title. And this rocked. This is unlike any other junior match I think you'll see in Japan this year, because it started off good, solid wrestling. Both guys are solid. I think Nagao, was it a year or two ago when he was getting sort of some attention in Real 01? I was like, okay, he's got something there. But I was like, I still got a ways to go. I think this is the best match I've ever seen him in. And at some point, they just started like just stiffing each other so hard on this. And this is not your traditional junior match. So it was just awesome to watch them kick the shit out of each other until Sato got him in a neck lock and won. So, you know, I think some people said this is their favorite match on the show, actually. I don't know about that, but it was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Then main event for the World Strong title. Kazumasa Yoshida defeated So Daimonji in 33-38 with a tombstone pile driver to win the title. He's the 25th strong champion. And Daimonji failed on his sixth defense. I mean, this was pretty good, but shouldn't have gone 33 minutes. I mean, hot closing stretch, but they sort of lost me in the middle. But, you know, I think compared to their... If you've seen their first match, like, it is worth watching because Yoshida like steps up here. Like, obviously Daimonji still controls a lot of this match, is still very much an aggressor, but you see compared to the first match, Yoshida's like Austin does get more in and has points where he does counter Debanji very effectively to gain the momentum, and a really fun closing stretch where Yoshida takes him two tombstone pile drivers to put Debanji away, and a pretty decent crowd pop. Although, you know, when you're 1,200 people in Yokohama Budokan, it can sound a little cavernous. But I would say, I think they more or less got what they needed to get out of this match and sort of crown Yoshida. But I don't know how he's going to do, because he is unlike most of the other strong champions that Big Japan has ever had.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen this one. I love the like first match in Korakuen. I think that one is still one of my favorite matches of the whole year. But again, that one was helped, you know, by being there in the building and everything. I can see where, like, if you kind of do like a similar match structure where I can drag a little bit, if you go like a half hour.
Yeah.
But I might check this out. As for where Yoshida goes, I mean, it's kind of the problem that they have, like, in general, right? Like, it's like the roster is so thin that you just run through challengers really quickly.
Daimonji got five defenses and they had to give him deathmatch guys.
Yeah. And Yoshida twice.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the problem. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're kind of in a really bad spiral where it's like you have a thin roster and then people keep leaving, so your roster becomes even thinner. So it's just I think for me, the main problem is like there's just nobody. I've talked about this before. There's nobody coming up in deathmatch wrestling.
No. So
these guys are just going to keep getting older and the rosters keep getting thinner. And it's like, Big Japan is a cockroach. So I'm not saying they're going to go to business. Like, maybe they go to business sometime soon. I don't expect them to. But it might just be a thing where it's like, not really like with a bang, but more of a whimper, where it's just like death by a thousand cuts. And it's like, in 10 years, it's like,
something
there's
nobody called
there anymore.
Or something called Big Japan continues to run only Shinkiba.
Yeah. Or it like basically becomes like real Japan, but for like deathmatch wrestlers, where it's like guys in like their 60s hitting each other with... Well, they won't even be hitting each other with light tubes anymore. So no. I don't even know what the fuck they're going to do.
There is one positive thing for them. Now, I can't remember his name, but who's that super rookie they had that got injured?
Yeah, I forgot his name, but I know which one you mean. Yeah,
like the big guy. He's coming back this month, I think. Like later this month is his return.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's like, you know, his knee recovered, because like, okay, to be fair, at this point that was January, which was a while ago. He was still kind of noticeably limping when he was doing like ring duty in January, but
yeah,
again, that was a couple of months ago, so could have gotten better since then.
Yeah. So, I mean, then the count is on. They should just rocket pack him.
Oh, yeah.
What other choice?
I mean, again, Yoshida is the kind of guy where it's like, you don't even need to like keep the title on him that long. Like, I think he's better as a chaser than, like, probably. Yes. Just from the type of wrestlers, he seems like a guy that's better as a chaser than like a champion.
Yeah. If you look at the, yeah, his storyline was exactly a perfect chase, you know, loses, but shows some fire, and then he does it, and you can, do whatever later with him, and that kind of thing. And yeah, you really got to get, I can't even remember this guy's name, and now I'm, what was it?
No, I have also completely blanked on it. I can see him in front of me. I don't
remember. Yes, I know. I can see him in front of me too. Totally blanked on his name. Is this it? Is it Koshiro Asakura?
Yeah, Asakura. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I found it. Yeah, that's him. Okay. Yes. So Asakura is the future of this company, whether he is ready or not, basically.
Yeah, kind of like, it's just like, again, we're at the stage where it's like you just throw something at the wall. If it doesn't stick, it's not going to make a situation any worse, but maybe it's going to do something.
I mean, though, well, let me ask you this. Do you give Yoshida his nice little feel-good run for a couple months, but then do you transition on back on a Daimonji or onto someone with some red before you have Asakura win it?
Because you're also like, because like Yoshida is like such a good like underdog that it's like,
yeah, and Asakura is a big, you know, beefy dude.
Yeah.
In that strong tradition.
So I mean, if you really want to put him on strong, give like Yoshida like one or two defenses, right?
Yeah.
And then Asakura just like comes in and just squashes him.
That's, you could also do that, yeah.
You know, just like he just comes in like a complete monster and just destroys him in like, I don't know, 5 to 8 minutes and wins the title. Like, again, that's risky, but like putting the title on him in the first place is risky, so you might as well just double down.
Yeah. So that's Big Japan. I thought I would just, it was worth mentioning because it is the biggest show of the year, even if
yeah,
not exactly the best show of the year. But what I watched, I liked. And even though I was a big fan of Daimonji, I mean, with Asakura coming back, and I assume Daimonji is going to hang around, then, you know, I'll keep, it's enough to keep me at least peeking in on the bigger shows and everything like that. So then we go to Noah Legacy Rise on April 24th, 2026. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about in Noah at Corken Hall in front of 1,021 fans. Paul, what do you think of that number given that card? That's not that surprising. I don't know.
No, yeah. I mean, it's a disappointing number for them at this point, given what they've drawn recently. But I mean, it was a shit card. Like, it's like, yeah, like really, like, eventually, like, it's what we've seen in the past as well, right? Where like companies kind of have like a bit of momentum drawing in Corken, even if they don't put up like good cards. But then eventually fans just go, like, well, there's nothing on here that's really worth my time. You have like the junior heavyweight tag title match, but then otherwise it's just absolutely nothing show. So I'm not surprised that fans were like why would I go come here?
Yeah.
Like even on a Friday, like especially like there's so many more, actually, you know what I mean, you're in Tokyo, there's so many more nice things you can do on a Friday night than go to this show. I mean, I probably, like, here's the thing, if I was there as a tourist, I would have gone. Let's say I was like living in Japan, I probably, yeah, like if I was living in Tokyo, I probably would go like, yeah, you know what, no, I probably would have been like, yeah, I think I'd rather, like, I don't know, hang out with friends instead.
So we start off the show with Manabu Soya, Ada, Super Crazy, and Daikyo Toshima defeating Atsushi Kotoge, Muhammad Yon, Hajime Ohara, and Katsumi Inahata in 7:32 with the dando from Soya on Ohara. Perfectly fine opener. And then Kid Lykos 2 and Hiroto Tsuruya defeated Tetsuya Endo, Hayata, and Yuya Koyanagi in 5:52 with the Swanton Bomb from Lykos on Koyanagi. I liked it, but it was way too short. And then Nall defeated Midori Takahashi in 1:21 with the Mountain Nall. And I like this because it's just a fun little squat.
Yeah, I mean, it kept it short.
Yes, exactly. And then we got the business end of the card, sort of. Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows defeated Kaito Kiyomi and Harutoki in 9:43 when Anderson pinned Harutoki after the Magic Killer. Paul, do I have to take an L for saying that?
Oh, on the Good Brothers?
Yeah, because they've actually tried, or do you
think? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're in the tag league now as well.
Yes, we'll get to that in a moment. All right, but yeah, I can't help but thinking that now I have to take an L for the Good Brothers of all people.
I mean, you know what? Give it. I feel like let's at least give them a year, because that's the thing. Like, they might still.
Oh, I was gonna say, give them less than that.
Yeah.
There is no way.
I think tag league will find out. Like, once we're in like tag league, like in the middle and like really like the doldrums of the tournament, and like, I don't know, like Gunma Prefecture, like we'll see like if the bright lights of Gunma are really gonna like motivate like Machine Gunka.
Yeah. And then Naomichi, Marufuji, and Kano defeated Masa Kitami and Elfin Wolf in 10:28 with the perfect inside cradle from Marufuji on Wolf. And of course, this was how you thought it was going to go in terms of, you know, some baby faces versus Team 2000X. So that was that. Although, you know, they were trying to swerve us with the booking, I guess we'll say, as we'll get to later. And then Ozawa, Takashi Sugira, and Jun Masaoka defeated Tetsuya, Naito, Bushi, and Ryusei in 11:02 when Bushi was disqualified.
I mean, I thought it's what I find really interesting about this is that, like, well, my thing for this one was like, yep, Valiant Babyface Ozawa, basically, overcoming like the cheating heels. And it's like, I think really what was noticeable is that like all of the like little like cheating antics that like LTJ do that are like over as like babyface moves in New Japan,
yeah,
get like viciously booed like everywhere else, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like that they don't like they like oh, like that they just don't have that same cachet that they did in New Japan, which makes some sense, but I'm still surprised that there is kind of like none of it, basically, because like Bushi blowing the mist got like massive boos from the crowd.
We'll talk about something else that someone on this team does that gets massive boos.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just Naito. Oh, God. I mean, at this point, there is nobody left that is like Naito should still continue doing the Destino. Like, there's nobody except for Tetsuya Naito on this planet thinks he should still be doing this move.
Right. And then GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, Dragon Bane and Alejandro defeated Tadasuke and Kai Fujimura in 1451 with a cradle from Alejandro on Tadasuke. And it was fine, but you know, you have to factor in the Team 2000X stuff and Kai Fujimura's goofy ass heel work.
Yeah, it's bad. So bad.
Should have turned Alejandro instead.
Yeah. And again, who has had some experience as a heel as well.
Exactly. Yes.
But I mean, to be fair, I do like the Dragon Bane Alejandro team. It's just, if yeah, like Kaifuji, like it, he just had this great run as an underdog babyface, and this is just such a mess. Like, which felt that he was finally breaking out, right? Because right. He's just been like spinning his wheels as like a young boy for like 10 years. And then he has this great run in the junior tournament, and now he's doing this, which just is like the most like, undercard heel shtick ever, and it isn't even working. Like, it's just bad.
Yep. And then main event, we had Kenta and Shane Hayes defeating Yoshiki Inamura and Amasaka in 1832 with the Bomb Valley Death from Hayes on Inamura. And hey, this is a good match. What can I say? Yep. It was a nice traditional, good, solid warm-up tag for a title match.
Yeah, I think Haste also showed that, you know, like, because there was a bit of, like, doubt around it because his New Japan run wasn't good because he just had, like, no motivation at all, very clearly. And again, this at least gave me, like, a bit more of, like, an easier feeling that, like, okay, that's, like, a chance that, like, the match with Inamura is going to be good.
Gotta lose the nunchucks, though. Those are so corny.
Oh, God, yeah, no, that's such geek behavior. It looks like such shit.
I'm like, come on, what are you doing with that?
Yeah, it's like why? Like, just come on, man. You look like such a dork.
And so we go then to Noah Spring Mayhem, the next big show that they had, Ryogoku 2026 on May 2nd at obviously Tokyo Ryogoku Kokukigon in front of 4,539 fans. Paul, what do you think of that number?
I mean, very clearly, Shane Hayes is a bigger draw than Kenta. So. I mean, great. I mean, obviously, Naito. You have to credit Naito to some of that number. Sure. But I think also just in general, like, it's not like there was, like, that really was, like, the only, like, drawing match on the card, right? Because I don't really think Shane Hayes, Yoshiki, and Nomura, you would generally consider, like, a big drawing match. So the fact that, like, they kind of, like, still, like, drew more people than last year, I think, is definitely an achievement. And I think, again, I think Inamura is building a bit of, like, a case as a draw here. Because, Ozawa Naito is, like, the match, but, like, still, like, Inamura is, like, there's people there all very obviously just for Inamura.
He has done pretty well for himself, all things considered, every time he's main evented with a title match.
Yeah.
I think that
I think he really is, like, I think, again, it was like a make or break thing for him, right? Like, because of his age and everything. And I think, like, he's made it. Like, I think he is, like, a main event, like, a proper main eventer now and will remain one, like, for the rest of his Noah career, really.
Yeah. So we start off with a couple of pre-show matches, which were not much. We had, obviously, who else to feature on the pre-show but Team Noah?
Yes, of course.
Shiketoge, Hiroki, and Hajime O'Hara defeating the rookies Yuto Koyanagi, Hiroto Tsuruya, and Midori Takahashi in 6:34 with a Texas Cloverleaf hold from Kotoge on Takahashi, with Kotoge getting a rare win these days. And then Ada defeated Katsumi Inahata in only 3:45 with the Imperial Uno, which I thought probably could have been, should have been given more time. I mean, Inahata is not like quite a rookie, and I think that they are also fast-tracking him to sort of move out of that rookie status sooner rather than later. So you could have given him a couple more minutes against Ada.
But then especially since he's moving up to heavyweight as well. Like, that makes it even weirder.
Yeah. So on the main card, Kenta, Tetsuya Endo, and Hayata defeated Muhammad Yone, Kazuyuki Fujita, and Daiki Odoshima in 8:38 with the go-to sweep from Kenta on Odoshima. Perfectly fine, solid opener. Then the handicap.
So Kenta going from the main event to like the opener in 1 year.
Yes, that's a very good point that I didn't even think of. I mean, they cycle them down. I mean, that reign last year felt like a gold watch reign, 25th anniversary. Yeah. Let's put it back on Kenta type thing. It would not shock me, although I certainly couldn't rule it out, but it would not shock me if he never wins the GHC title again.
No, I wouldn't surprise me either. I don't think he probably even wants to, because his body is obviously pretty short as well. So he probably is fine just getting a title shot every once in a while. And another,
I think it's more respect in the booking than he does in New Japan. It did in New
Japan, for sure. Because he's a legend. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we had the handicap match. Null defeated Kid Lykos, and Kid Lykos 2 and 4:22 with the Mount Null on Lykos 2. Oh, that was fun
for a handicap match. Again, kind of weird, where it's like there's two people here that you're putting in your tag league getting squashed in like under 5 minutes by one guy. I don't even necessarily disagree with them losing the match. It's just a weird decision for like a team that I guess you want to have some credibility coming in like a couple of weeks.
Well, when we talk about the tag league, I'm looking at their block and Paul, they'll be lucky to get 2 points.
Oh, yeah, I mean, probably yes, but still like... Also, I probably would have like switched this and like Ada versus Inahara, to be honest. Like, you could probably put this on the pre-show.
Yeah, for sure. And then a three-way match with Manabu Soya, Saxon Huxley, and X being Yuki Ino defeating Kato Kiyomiya, Haru Toki, and Alejandro, and also the team of Masa Kitamiya, Takashi Sugira, and Tadasuke in only 5:32 for a three-way six-man tag match. Truly ridiculous. With the passion IS from Soya on, or passion is from Soya on Alejandro. And Paul, I mean, Soya and Ino are coming out with their like West African fabric prints and their like, what is it? The warlord hair, or like mohawk hair with the two mohawks on each side or whatever.
And you love Soya just increasingly drawing more and more people into his midlife crisis.
Yes.
You know, also, again, you have to remember, right? Like, I get that it's passionate Rattels. However, it still has the Rattels name. And I would just like to remind people what Rattels was originally. Like, originally, it was a bunch of, like, former, like, indie twink, like, scummers. And now it's like Manabu Soya, Saxon Huxley, and Yuki Ino.
What's funny is that when Ino had the team with Naya, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In DDT, they were serious and they were pretty good. But then then he leaves DDT, but then picks up a gimmick.
To do comedy.
A gimmick again in a different company.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with Ino and Noah. I think it makes sense.
I enjoy it's Ino's just... more serious run, and he then reverts back when he goes to Noah Bazaar.
Yeah, we'll see how they do in a tag league.
Then LTJ versus Team 2000X All Out Battle 1, Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura defeated on Hal Reyes and Ryusei in 7:29 with the package pile driver from Wolf on Reyes. Well, at least it was short.
Yeah.
And then All Out Battle 2, no DQ match, Bushi and defeated Jun Masaoka in 11:44 with the MX. But I don't understand why they behaved like it was a regular match when it came to the interference.
Yeah, I mean,
I kind of just interfered from the beginning.
Yeah, like they still had to distract the ref and like, no, you can't just run in. There's nothing he can do to stop you. Like, very weird.
This is the best LTJ versus Team 2 as the next match on this show,
which is really bad. We're like, that's really bad if that's your best match of this whole like series.
Yes. And special tag match, Naomichi Marufuji and Kenno defeated Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows when Marufuji pinned Gallows with the arm lock package hold, which Paul mildly surprised me because I thought they were going to keep the Good Brothers undefeated. And again, another Good Brothers exceeding expectations match, I have to say.
Yeah. I mean, I really did not see the like Naomichi Marufuji push coming, to be honest. But I mean, I don't know. It is working, though. I will give him that.
Yeah. And then to the LTJ versus Team 2000X All Out Battle 3. Ozawa defeated Tetsuya Naito in 18-12 with a backslide. And woof, not a good match. No. Paul, let me ask you this. Is Naito more washed than Muto was?
At the same age?
Oh.
Or at the end? No. Oh, Muto at the end versus Naito now.
When Muto won the GHC title from Go, he was better than Naito is now, and he was still almost 16.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, that's also fair, yeah. I mean, at the very end, it was very rough, because he was just, like, again, yeah. He could basically not move at all anymore.
Yeah, his hip was about to disintegrate.
Yeah, but I will say, yeah, the Goshi Ozaki match was way better than this match because
than anything
it was it had that basically it was insanely sloppy that match, but like that's what made it better because it was just these two like doing moves that like they shouldn't have attempted, so it just looked insanely dangerous. And whereas in this one it was just like Ozawa trying to bounce around Naito, but Naito couldn't even do anything, so that didn't even work. Like it worked against like Ahura because Ahura was just like, yeah, I don't know, just like throw me into like a row of chairs 3 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Why not? Whereas they couldn't do that here, I suppose.
Yeah. The funniest part of the match to me was when Naito went for that little swinging DDT off the ropes and he botches it and the crowd just boos. And the thing is, I think the fact that they boo, the fact that Bushi doesn't miss, it's all connected. Naito and LTJ are supposed to be the cool outsider heels, but when Naito shows up and he is falling apart, then they're not going to cheer for very. They're just going to totally reject it. Like he is getting rejected way faster than Muto ever did.
Yeah. I think that's very fair. Yeah. I mean, at least he's putting like Ozawa over, so that's at least a more positive thing than Muto.
Well, I mean, he won with a backslide, which makes me wonder, you know.
I mean, they're probably going to run this back in, like, the N1.
Yeah. Well, also, interestingly enough, they're not doing Budokan next year.
Yeah, that one is actually, I mean, the way they said it, apparently it was already booked, so they couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's still weird that they're then moving, like, to, like, December 31st. Which is like, you know, the All Japan spot, like, and they're basically running head to head as well.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
were they running again on the 31st?
They're running on December. Yeah, they're running the Yokohama Buntai.
Oh,
Yokohama Buntai.
Buntai, right. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's basically if you're like a, you know, like if you're like a foreigner coming in, like realistically, you're going to go to All Japan. Like you're not,
at least it's in a different city. I mean, it's very close, it's still the okay. So let's see here. What time is? Oh, it starts at 15:00.
Yeah,
and I believe those All Japan shows they also start at 2. Around.
They started at 2 generally. Yeah.
Yeah. So can't even go and try to like maybe catch the second half of the Noah show or something.
Yeah. I know, for example, like John Carroll, right? Because they're all, I think they've already got everything booked. Like they're going to the Ice Ribbon show in the morning. So it's quite literally a case of like, well, it's not even just like which one you prefer. It's also quite literally just a case of like, well, it's just much more likely to like make it to Yoyogi than it is to like make it out to like Yokohama in time. for the show. And then it's also like the thing, like what you want to do afterwards, right? Like, because you're going to get out of both of those shows in the early evening. And it's like, well, you want to go party in Yokohama or you want to go party in Tokyo, which I'm right. sure Yokohama is nice. However, the other city is literally Tokyo.
Yes, exactly. And then in the semi-main event for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title, Dragon Bane defeated Mosca in 14:33 with the Bane Twister. Failed third defense, and then Dragon Bane is the 61st GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion. Paul, this was a fantastic match.
Yeah.
Mosca should be in the conversation for Best Junior of the Year. I know Worldy in May, but still. I mean, him and Bane even. Best Junior of the Year.
It's kind of crazy when you remember how old he is.
Yes. Right?
Like, it's not like
41.
It's like almost. In theory, exactly. It's not like like he literally wrestles like a guy like at least like 10, 15 years younger than he actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. Half his age. Like, I mean, yeah. Even think about Liger and at the age of 41, which I think would have been what, in the mid 2000s, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and he was still a great wrestler, but he was not doing what a Mosca does.
Yeah, no, and not as like smoothly as well. Like that Liger was still doing some dives, but it was very selected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Romo, yeah, who is younger? Yes. Is he younger?
4 or 5 years like younger,
roughly the same age.
Romo was like 36, 37, maybe.
Really? Okay. I mean, yeah, but like Romo, yeah, definitely has slowed down a lot more than like Amaxa has.
Yeah, Romo he's 37 this year.
Oh, Jesus, okay. Four he's way younger than I thought he was. Yeah.
He's 4 years younger than Amaxa.
Yeah, so it's absolutely insane, like the way he wrestles. Like, I mean, Dragon Bane again. I'm like, they were both amazing in this match. It's
not to underrate.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because Dragon Bane is like what, 24, 25?
Yeah, still ridiculously young.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I can tell you that for free. Dragon Bane has absolutely got to rank fairly highly on my like 30 under 30 list.
Absolutely, yes. It's time to get that 30 under 30 list. I believe it's
really
on
the need to Force get of Wrestling. That done.
We got it. It's due the 22nd, and today's the 7th. Yeah. I sent you my 100 greatest wrestlers ever list like a day or two ago. I don't know.
I'll do that one this time around.
I put Kawada number 1, Akira Hokuto number 2, and Tenryu number 3.
I mean, that's a pretty good. Yeah, that's a pretty good top 3.
Yeah. So that is a very good start for the year for the junior division, I think.
Yeah. I think they've been pretty damn good this year.
Yeah. And even in the last year with the Hiromu reign, right?
Yeah.
But the question is, much like the Hiromu reign, is this just a nice little gold watch double champion thing for Bane before he heads off to AAA?
I mean, maybe. I'm kind of confused with like what's happening with like the whole AAA thing anyway. It's like,
yeah,
seems kind of fluid who is actually under contract there.
Because Galeno, is Galeno there yet? I don't even know.
No, because I think he's also working like indies now too.
Yeah, weird. I don't know. I just expect, I know we've said this a few times, but I just expect the Gobeldori is just to like stop appearing in NOAH one day and then
I mean again go. Like if you're a major like US TV promotion, like you would be stupid not to try and sign these guys.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, you could, this might sound ridiculous, but even an AEW could sign them and just slot them in as the new Lucha Brothers because they have a very similar dynamic, right?
Yeah.
Alpha Wolf can be Penta and Dragon Bay can be Phoenix.
Yeah, no, you can absolutely do that. Like, it's
right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's literally not a promote. Like, actually, you know what? Who could actually, like, if they're not going to the US, there is another promotion that might want to poach them in that case. Because, I mean, we've had, like, there have been the reports out there that, like, New Japan is looking for junior talents.
Yes, that's actually very true. They may or may not have signed Dragon Daya.
Yeah, that one's not quite clear, yeah.
that's exactly the point, right? So keep an eye on for that. But New Japan really hasn't rated NOAH compared to other places, at least recently. So
it's,
I don't know.
Probably because it's more expensive.
Yes, you'll get them into bidding wars then. And for the GHC Heavyweight Championship, Shane Hayes defeated Yoshiki Inamura in 31-42 with the figure four jackknife hold after the Bomb Valley Death to win the title. And he's the 50th champion and the third foreign GHC heavyweight champion. I was shocked, not like the biggest shock in all of wrestling history or anything, but I was surprised. But also, goddamn, this was an awesome match.
Yeah.
Shane proved the doubters wrong.
Yeah, no, he really did. I think there was like a little bit of like a boring period in the match.
Yeah.
But like otherwise, like this was pretty damn awesome. Like just balls to the wall, like after that. Just
hard hitting.
Hard hitting.
Inamura. Yeah. I mean, look, this wasn't just all Shane Hayes. Inamura played a major role, and for all we know, Hayes won't be able to recreate this with someone other than Inamura. I don't know. But yeah. I think Haste is also more serious than he has been. But honestly, Paul, with how well this all went off, I want to see Mad Mikey. Where's Mad Mikey?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not, that neither of them are in the tag league. Yeah.
He needs to come in and headbutt some people and know.
Yeah. It's also a shame that, like, seemingly, like, Haste and, like, Mad Mikey sold the, like, rights to TMDK to New Japan.
It sounds, seems like it, but he was wearing like a TMDK
like shirt wristband. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but they're not, you know, using the term or anything like that. But
it's, yeah, because, and it's also New Japan is like Raven selling, squad. Like New Japan is like selling the, what's it called? The like merch as part of like their like official New Japan merch. So, and this is why I'm thinking that they like, that New Japan like bought the rights to TMDK. Like with like Suzuki-gun, like if you went into like the New Japan store when Suzuki-gun was around, they would always have like the Suzuki-gun merch and like in their own separate like area, basically. Like it would never be just like part of like the New Japan merch.
Right. Honestly, though, is it a bad thing? I mean, they had been TMDK for so long that maybe freshening it up, Shane joining the White Raven squad is what he needs to help freshen himself up.
I can definitely see it. It's just a little bit of a shame because they obviously, like, at least in Japan, they were like originally like a Noah faction. Like, yeah. I know that like they really were like a what's it called again? They were like a faction in Australia before that.
Yes, they were.
But still, like, you know, like they were like an important part of Noah for like a couple of years. But then again, how many of those fans are even left anymore? Because like that was like 10 plus years at this point.
Yep.
So
it's been a while. So
yeah.
What do you think of the title change? I mean, apart from it being a great match,
I to some degree actually saw it coming, I would say.
Mm.
I still wasn't like 100% sure, but it was just like it felt like the Inamura reign had like, you know, like run its course, and it was very much a case of like, well, where is it, who's even gonna drop it to at this point, unless you just wanted to like redo Ozawa versus Inamura. Right. It's also like a thing of like, well, if you convince like a Shane Hayes to come in, you probably have to like give him a title reign. So
yeah.
that's why I was like, okay, like if Shane Hayes is coming in, like they're probably gonna put the belt on him, if even like just for like a little bit. So
yeah.
So, I wasn't super surprised, but we'll see how long it lasts. That's the thing.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, because there's some booking that may suggest that it's not a long reign, but I don't really know at the same time, to be completely honest with you. So they had the After Mayhem, which was the day after on May 3rd at Shinjuku Face, drawing 468 fans for Super No Vacancy Full House. They started off the show with a bang. Tetsuya Naito and Bushi versus Kenno and Yoshiki and Inamura went to a time limit draw. I believe this is all Mystery Vortex, was it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an interesting little opener, but, you know, Naito get in, get out. Ada and Deki Odashima defeated Hajime Ohara and Katsumi Inahata in 701 with the Numero Uno from Ada on Inahata. He really likes pinning Inahata, it seems. Actually, this was solid, but really short. Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and Yuto Koyanagi defeated Kid Lykos 2 in Black Menso Ray in 716 when Gallows pinned Menso Ray after the Magic Killer. Now, that's a pairing I never expected I'd see. Doc Gallows and Black Bolt's Array.
Yeah. And then they tried to like too sweet. You took like you took.
Yeah, they raised his arm too. Yes. I wonder if they'll stick him with them. That would be fine. Ryusei defeated Hiroto Tsuruya in 940 with an inside cradle. I don't know, man. Ryusei, sometimes he looks like he might be doing stuff, but I don't know what he's got so far. I mean, I think Tsuruya is the future, just in my
opinion. Again, with Ryusei, my main concern is, right, like he really missed like the like regular reps and like a key part of his development. I don't know, like, because like Angel Reyes like announced that he's going back to Europe, so we'll see what's happening there. I don't know what the fuck Ryusei is gonna, I guess just hang around Noah is really his best option.
He should go to Europe.
Yeah, but yeah, if he can get regular reps there, that's the thing. If he can get it in with like a, you know, like a WXW, like I think.
Should we go to Mexico?
Mexico, and actually, yeah.
His family's legacy. Yeah.
I mean, I assume he speaks Spanish, probably. Like, it, I mean, I don't know. Like,
you don't have to.
It always depends. Really. Yeah.
All those other guys go and they don't speak.
That's true. That's never stopped the Japanese wrestler from going to Mexico speaking Spanish.
Yeah. Or never stopped a sketchy wrestler from hiding in Mexico.
Yes. Which, to be fair, I mean, Ryusei wouldn't need to do that, but
no. Yeah. Manabu Soya and Yuki Ino defeated Atsushi Kitoge and Hiroki at 356 with the passion is from Soya on Hiroki, and this is all about a squash to establish this team. You could figure this out in your head how it went. Naomichi, Marafuji, Amasuka, Shuji Kondo, and Midori Takahashi defeated Ozawa, Alpha Wolf, Null, and Jun Masaoka in 1236 with the armlock package hold from Marafuji on Null, and Null takes the rare loss because he's usually quite protected.
I mean, again, it's the Marafuji push, right? He got to squash a bunch of people in like handicap matches, and the payoff for that is he gets beat by Marafuji.
I know. It's fine match actually. It's a pretty good. Some pretty good teams there. And then Masa Kitamiya, Tadasuke, and Kai Fujimura defeated Kaito Kiyomiya, Harutoki, and Alejandro in 1331 with the inside cradle from Kitamiya on Alejandro. And of course, with this being a Team 2000X match, you can expect some of the things that happen here. You can but also what happened was after the match, Kitamiya and Kiyomiya got on the mic and basically challenged him to a hair versus faction disbandment, where the already incredibly short hair of Masa Kitamiya was on the line against.
As literally everybody pointed out, it's like, including English commentary was like, well, he doesn't have a lot of hair, so this match kind of doesn't make
sense. Which is funny because they will sell anything that no one
could
sell that. And then in the main event, Kenta and Tetsuya Endo defeated Shane Hayes and Hayata in 1842 with the Shooting Star Press from Endo on Hayata. And honestly, good match, which was about building up the Kenta versus Hayes match, which we forgot to mention. Kenta came up to congratulate Hayes at Sumo Hall, and then Hayes challenged him because Kenta defeated Hayes in the previous challenge, like in 2013 to retain the GHC title or whatever. So that was set up. That was a good match. And then I believe it was after this when Endo said that he had now, for the foreseeable future, was staying with Noah, right?
Yeah, until he achieves success in Noah, which, good luck.
The thing is, by the time, whatever, even if he's in there another year, like DDT will, solidified a bunch of new young guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's so many people coming up in that promotion. Like, there's no...
Like, are they going to come...
spot for him to go back
to put over Takeshi Masada at some point? Like, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, is that how it's going to work? I don't know.
Like, I don't know. He can, like, rejoin Damnation TA, I guess. Because Eruption isn't really a thing anymore.
Nope. They're all retired or injured, I think. Or is Okatari back? I can't remember. I've completely lost interest in DDT since Gucci retired.
it's fine from what I've been
saying. I like Ueno, but so that was that show, and then we go to the fifth at Cork and Hall in front of 1,302 fans, and I know. I mean, I think it's fine for what the main event of the show was.
Yeah. And also this, I mean, to be fair, it was in Golden Week. So. Yeah. But it was still like an 11 a.m. show as well.
Yeah. All of these court, like when people talk about.
I actually, fun fact, this was the rare, like early Kurrican that I caught live.
I forgot that this was this.
I couldn't sleep. So I was like, I was like awake at 4 a.m. and I was like, ah, shit, no, son, I might as well watch it because I can't sleep.
I mean, I could have watched this live, but I forgot because nobody usually doesn't have this time slot.
Yeah.
And All Japan was later. One thing that when people talk about Noah softening in Corkin Hall, I can kind of see it, but all of those great Corkin numbers were all GHC title matches, not GHC national title or just tag matches, right? I don't know. Well, I think they're softening a bit, but we'll see where this goes. So to start off, Kenno and Amasaka defeated Ada and Black Mensa Ray in 5:41 with the PFS from Kenno on Mensa Ray, a fun little opener. Tetsuya Naito, Bushi, and Ryusei defeated Yuto Koyandaki, Hirota Tsuruya, and Midori Takahashi 6:35 with the crab bolt from Bushi on Koyanaga. And you couldn't tell me if I can't remember if Naito did anything in this match.
I'm pretty sure he didn't actually tag in.
Yeah, exactly. That's and then Nana Busoya, Yuki Ino, Daiki Odashima, which sounds like a great team, but then Super Crazy defeated Kazuyuki Fujita, Muhammad Yone, Atsushi Kotoke, and Hajime Ohara in 8:32 with the passion is from Soya on Ohara. And Paul, let me ask you this. Is Kazuyuki Fujita a member of Team Noah?
I don't think he is officially. Like,
or
similarly
is he Tsuji Ishikawa in Evolution?
Exactly. That's the exact reference I just wanted to make. Yeah, I think that's basically the role that he has. Also on like Super Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Remember when like All Japan brought him in like what, like 5 years ago or something at this
God,
point?
God, was it that long ago now? It could have been four or five, yeah.
Yeah, where we were like, ah, this seems like a nice like, you know, like Gold Watch thing for him to do. And then he's like gonna go back to Mexico and retire or whatever. And then he just hasn't left. still here.
So then after that we had Yoshiki and Imura, Carl Anderson, Doc Gals, Kid Lykos, and Kid Lykos 2 defeating Ozawa, Takashi Sugera, Null, Tadasuke, and Jun Masaoka 9:25 with the Muso from Inamura on Masaoka, trying to build Inamura back up. But we're getting out of this another Inamura versus Ozawa match coming up that we'll talk about in a minute. And then Shane Hayes and Tetsuya Endo defeated Kenta and Katsumi Inahata in 10:51 with the Lariat from Hayes on Inahata. Again, nice solid little match. But then the Dissolution versus Hair match. Kaito Kiyomiya defeated Masa Kitami in 17:47 with the Skywalk Elbow. And Kitamiya actually did shave his hair down all the way, at least, with this. And I mean, it was fine at moments, but then it also had exactly what you think it was going to have with the interference and everything like that. And the Mad Prince made an appearance as well.
Yeah. It also probably had like the weirdest spot of the entire year, which I don't know if you remember that. Basically, they had this thing of the, you had like Kitamiya trying to like throw Kaito into the chairs. And there was this like old man who was like sitting there who like couldn't really get up.
Oh, okay.
It's actually kind of weird that doesn't happen more often given how old like the population of Japan is.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
No.
Where like Kitamiya and Kaito had to like noticeably stall because the old man just couldn't get up, and then he didn't even get up, he just kind of fell out of his chair. He kind of just fell out of his chair, and they were like, okay, fuck it, we'll just do the spot now. And then the old man is just like next to them on the floor, and like the staff is like trying to get him up, and it's like this is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's even happening anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Just and then in the main event for the GHC national title, Naomichi Marufuji defeated Alpha Wolf in 24:17 with the referee stop, the perfect headlock to win the title. He's the 20th national champion. Damn, there's been a lot of national champions, and it's been. Yeah. How long? Seven
Not
years?
That maybe? Long, yeah.
I was before the pandemic, though, I think, right?
Yeah.
2018, I think. In the days of Michael Elton.
So, yeah.
Look, I mean, this had the perfunctory Team 2000X interference, but God damn it, I don't know how he did it, but Marufuji had a great match here, and he somehow did it, and I thought, look, we said for a while that he was always good for one or two good matches a year, but then he had the title match against Kenta, and...
which, again, was a massive disappointment.
Which is like, okay, if he can't have a good match and try against Kenta, he's truly, truly washed, but damn, he did it.
Yeah. He really seemed like that probably was like a... It seems like that was a motivating factor for him, right? Where then he was like, Okay, like I shit the bed here. And it seems like he just, I don't know what he's done, but it seems like he just like is like, nah, fuck this, I'm back now, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, you know, I'm not against. Like, I think there is actually chance now for like this title reign to be good.
Yeah, we'll see how long it goes too, right? I mean,
it also depends if they're actually going to do any like title defenses.
Yeah. What I think, though, I don't know. Marufuji always struck me as a guy that just was happy to do his thing and not want to be burdened with these titles. So either he's getting ready to have a run before he retires, or this is just a really quick transitional thing, right? I don't know.
Yeah. The problem with the national title, like basically ever since the whole like Ozawa thing has just been like, well, there just hasn't been that many like defenses.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. He is the kind of guy that can elevate the title back into meaning something after it just getting knocked around.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. So to preview, the next big show is on the 13th at Corkin Hall. So I'm curious how this will draw, because main event, Shane Hayes versus Kenta, Yoshiki Nomura versus Ozawa. And I assume this is going to be a number one contenders match, basically, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really make, like, that's the other weird thing where it's like, the thing I thought they were doing where it's like, okay, you're going to do like, you have Shane Hayes take the title, so you don't have to run back Inamura versus Ozawa.
Yeah.
You can save that match, but I guess that's not what they're doing. So
also, you didn't really have to run this match either, because he just pinned Naito.
Ozawa, that's the other thing. Because there's really no point for like Inamura winning.
No, none at all.
So yeah, no, it's a bit of a bizarre decision on Noah's part. I mean, I'm not against it. It's just I don't know. I feel like there would have been money in saving in Nomura vs. Ozawa.
Oh, for sure. Special tag team match. Tiger Mask and Keno versus Alejandro and Naomichi Marufuji. I take this to be Tiger Mask farewell to Noah match, right?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Like, if he is retiring in like
July.
A couple of weeks. Yeah, July, yeah. So this very much was a goodbye to him.
10-person tag match. Atsushi Kitoge, Kazuyuki Fujita, Muhammad Yone, Hiroki, and Daikyo Shima versus Masa Kiribia, Takashi Sugera, Tadasuke, Kai Fujibara, and Jun Masaoka. Tag team match, Tetsuya Naito and Bushi versus Amasuka, Black Mensa Ray. Another six-man three-way match. So you got Kaito Kiyomiya, Harutoki, and Yuto Koinagi versus Tetsuya Endo, Hayata, and Katsumi Inahata. Versus Kid Lykos 1, Kid Lykos 2, and Midori Takahashi. Then you have a tag team match, Manabu Busoya and Yuki Ino versus Ada and Shuji Kondo. Well, that could be fun. And then you have another Hirota Tsuruya versus Ryusei match. Oh, they're having a best of three series game, and this is the first match.
I mean, that's a cool idea, yeah.
I would make sure that Tsuruya wins then, if I were.
Yeah.
So also, Global Tag League coming up, starting on May 23rd at Kyoto KBS Hall, and then ending on the 16th of June at Korakuen Hall. And we'll just go around the blocks here. So A Block, LTJ, Naito and Bushi, All Rebellion, Kaito Kiyomi and Harutoki, Elegant Darkness of the White Raven Squad, and that's Tetsuya Endo and Hayata. The Good Brothers, the Lykos Gym, as we were talking about before, and God Chairman, which is Takashi Sugera Masa Kitami and Takashi Sugera. Yeah. And then we've got Maru Ken of Naomichi Marufuji and Kenno. You've got the Sunsetters, which is Yoshiki and Amurin Stallion Rogers. You got the Beast Funkies, which is Kazuyuki Fujita and Muhammad Yone. And then you have in block, sorry, where was I? Oh, yeah. In block B, then you have Kenta Katsumi Inahata. So we were talking about him moving up to heavyweight. Mm-hmm. You've got your passionate Rattels team of Yuki Ino and Manabu Soya, and the real outcasts, which is Ozawa and Tadasuke, of all people.
Such a bizarre team.
It is such a bizarre team, but someone's got to eat those pins when with Ozawa in this tournament. So, Paul, who are your sort of guesses of winning this one?
I think the Good Brothers probably have a decent chance, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Kaito and, like, Kitamiya and Segura out, because I think they're just gonna, like, one is gonna eliminate the other team, basically. Naito and Bushi are champions. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And then the Lycosas are basically out. So I think, to me, like, block A comes down to either Endo and Hayata or the Good Brothers, and I probably would go with the Good Brothers.
And do you think their win over Maru Ken in the finals for revenge?
Yeah, that actually would make a lot of sense, because then otherwise from block B, I mean, I guess maybe Soya and Ino.
I feel like both they're the too only comedic team. To put them in the finals. I don't know.
But they have given them a bunch of like matches to build them up. At least. But yeah, like to me, Good Brothers feel like. But then again, Good Brothers already can get like a win over like Naito and Bushi in the tournament. Like that's always the problem. Right? It's like people winning the tournament that
I think Naito schoolboying Doc Gallows or Machine Gun
Guy. Yeah, because I also have a feeling that whoever wins this is going to beat LTJ for the titles.
They have to. They got to get these titles
off. Yeah, they got to get the title off of Naito. I mean, yeah, like if Bushi is the workhorse of your team, that's really, really bad. You don't want Bushi to be the workhorse of your team.
Well, let's look at the last block night here, or the last two block nights, because on the June 7th, you've got Naito and Bushi versus Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. So this is last A block night. And then you've got Lycos Jim versus Kitamiya and Sugira, and then Kiyomiya and Harutoki versus Endo and Hayata. So those are all poised for some upsets there as well. And then on the last B block night, you got Maru Ken versus Inamura and Stallion Rogers. You got Yone and Fujita versus Kenta and Inahata. And you got Soya and Ino versus Tadasuke and Ozawa.
That's
right. Does that
sort of isn't really like a one that strikes me as like this is to like decide the block.
Yeah.
But then again, we didn't get that in a carnival either, so
no. Well, we kind of did.
Aside from the literal decider matches, yes.
Oh, so yeah, that's Noah. I don't even know what this company is doing. It's both got some great ideas and some incredibly stupid ones.
I mean, that's kind of what they've always been in a way.
I know. It's so glaring. I don't know. Anyway, but then we move on to All Japan. To cover quite a number of shows in the Champion Carnival, including up to the final block night. And we start off with the Kasukabe Touch Cube on April 25th in front of 453 fans for Super No Vacancy Full House. And we'll just run through this quick. Paul, anything on the show that you thought stood out?
Not real. I mean, the Hideki versus Yuma match.
Yes. Was the double pin?
The double pin. I thought that was actually like it was quick, right? And you had like Yuma like coming out like a house of fire and just like taking it to Hideki. I thought that was quite fun. And then otherwise, I did like Kikuta versus Sekimoto as well.
So did I. I also give credit. I thought Rey versus Talos was better than it was going to be.
Yeah. No, definitely, because they kept that one short.
Yeah. And even Honda versus Zion was decent, but the thing with Kento versus Kuma was another snooze fest. They just don't.
Yeah, no, it's chemistry. They don't like Kuma just isn't a guy that is at like that level, basically.
No, and I mean this was shorter than a title match, but even then, still, it's just they don't have it. And then on the 26th at San Jose City Public Welfare Hall in front of 728, we had Kengo Mishimo defeating Reisato, Kumarashi defeating Go Shiozaki, Odyssey defeating Yuma Anzai, which I thought, my God, Anzai's selling, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yuma Aoyagi defeating Ren Ayabe, which a little long, but it was actually quite, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Again, I think Yuma and Ren just, you know, like are two people that just have that, like, that, like, just, they just have, you know, like the chemistry. Like, yes. It's just, like, again, like, if you remember, like, the title match, right? That was also, like, surprisingly good as well.
Mm-hmm. And then in the main event, Talos defeated Kento Miyahara with the Ride the Lightning Daddy in a match that I thought was actually better than their Triple Crown
title match. Yeah.
I
think, again, I think you kind of, like, identified that fairly correctly, like, last time we recorded, where it was like, well, Kuma is the one that's going to take the pin, and Talos is the one that's going to, like, beat Miyahara off, like, the two recent Triple Crown challenges. And it's pretty clear why, because Talos is just better.
Talos has basically pinned in single matches most of the main eventers in this company and former Triple Crown champions, except for one that wasn't, right? But all of the matches here were solid. I mean, even Kuma versus Go was much better than the average, than that Kento match with against Kuma and everything like that. So
I think it's also because like basically the way Go structures matches just works better for Kuma than the way like Kento structures matches.
Yeah.
But like Kuma and Go just kind of stood there and just like beat the shit out of each other. Like Kuma's chest was like, welting up really, really, really badly by the end of that match because Go just chopped them really, really fucking hard.
Mm-hmm. And then on May 2nd at Nantokita General Wholesale Center in Koriyama, we had Kumarashi defeating Kengo Mishimo in 2AW, which was perfectly fine. We had Ren Ayabe defeating Daisuke Sekimoto in 1228 with a death roulette. And again, I think Sekimoto being Sekimoto got a little, let me put this advisedly, some fire out of Ren Ayabe, you know, comparatively.
As much as you can, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had Yuma Anzai defeating Talos in 1210. Paul, this, which just brings us to this question. Is this Anzai injury a work or shoot?
I am not sure. So, like, we'll get to it on the next one, but, like, because I watched that one after it was announced that Anzai was injured.
Yeah.
And when he came out to the match for Kumarashi, he was noticeably limping already.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that...
He's also a fantastic seller.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And when was the last
like
time...
The fact that like the immediate post-match, he was like, oh, I'm so sad that like my champion carnival run is done. It's like, okay, that means you already knew it was over when you came into the match.
When was the last time they in Japan you saw someone clearly go in injured into a match to do an injury angle? Like they would either
question, just, yeah, they would either just run you the out, match. Yeah,
yeah, or you work and you should.
I mean, okay, I mean, actually, you know what? Like, somebody that is clearly injured working a match, I actually just saw that. And that was in Dragon Gate. It wasn't an angle. Okay. It was basically UT challenging Ryo Tanaka for the Brave Gate title.
Okay.
Where they basically did no setup matches because UT has a neck injury. And he's going to be out for a while after this. And it was very clear in the way they worked the match that UT was injured because there were just certain things they just, you know, didn't do. But again, that wasn't worked around, like, in a way where it was an injury angle or whatever. Like, they didn't do that. They still, like, worked the match like a normal match, just, you know, taking it easy. Like, it wasn't a case of, like Tanaka working over UT's neck. Like, the way it was with, like, basically Kumarashi stomping Anzai's ankle into oblivion and the match getting stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know is my conclusion.
Look, I understand you got to get an appointment with a doctor and maybe you need a more specialized doctor. But they had announced that June Saito was going to be out with a orbital bone injury like in a day. like actually diagnosed him, whereas they haven't announced anything about Anzai's injury subsequently, other than he's just out.
That's true. Yeah, they just were like, yeah, he's injured, no return date.
And he's posting screenshots from the Bachelorette on his Instagram. So someone have to do a media tour?
Yeah, but like, wouldn't you have known this in advance of the tournament?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Is he winning the Bachelorette?
If he is, then they should be winning the Champion Carnival and the title.
Yeah, yeah. Show up for like the reunion. Like, not even that. He should just win the Triple Crown. Just show up to the reunion with the belt.
Yeah. I thought Anzai's performance in the Taos match, whatever happened, was really good, because if he had fucked up his ankle, he did quite well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
still a really good match, yeah.
Yuma Aoyagi defeated Madoka Kakuta in 1929 with the Fool, which, again, great match.
Yeah. I mean, Yuma really is like the... Like, there was like a bit of like a lull in like the middle of the match, but then I thought like the beginning was great, and like the ending of the match was fucking great as well. Just like really like Kakuta, like I think when he actually turns up the intensity, because I think it's something he struggles a little bit at times. Like, he's really fucking good. And I said this on Omakase as well. I think he should just jump. I think he should just go to All Japan. I think just stylistically, he just fits much better in All Japan than he does in Dragon Gate. And I get that it kind of looks bad for Dragon Gate if they lose another guy. But I also feel like Kakuta doesn't really fit with what they want to do. With, like, the guys that are coming up in that, like... In that promotion, where like it feels like
a Homare good, like, or something.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, it's also like, it's Tanaka as well. But it's like, it just, it's kind of like the Kakuta generation. And like, Kakuta, obviously, I think to me, is like doing the best out of all of those guys. Like, it feels like they've been passed by. So maybe the best thing to do is to just move on and just, you know, go somewhere else. And I think Kakuta has like a pretty natural landing spot with All Japan, which very clearly likes him, because they wouldn't have brought him back for, like, you know, they wouldn't have given him like how rarely do they give like back-to-back like Champion Carnival spots to outsiders?
Sekimoto and Mashimo, but
yeah, Sekimoto and Mashimo, but that's, yeah, that those have been around, like those are basically, those two at this point are basically part of the inventory.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, they're not signed, but they might as well be.
Yeah. They're not getting work anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. I would not have any problem with Kakuta, or even just doing a Naruki Doi deal.
Yeah, where he just becomes like a freelancer and just works, basically spends his time between the two.
Yeah. And then main event was Kento Miyahara defeating Rei Saito in 1657 with the shutdown suplex hold. And I thought that this was a good match. And, because these guys haven't had some like meh stuff before, but this was solid. And I got to say, Paul, I think Rei started off a little shaky, but he is doing much better than I expected in this tournament, because I thought him and his shoulder was going to be a weak link.
Yeah, no, he really, like, I think he really, like, I think he's kind of like turned things around in this tournament. Like, he's holding up pretty well. Like, his charisma is coming through much better now as well.
Yeah.
Like, just at the beginning of this match, right? Like, when you had, like, the dueling, like, chance with them. Mm-hmm. And, like, Rei, like, really, like, firing up the crowd and everything. And again, Kento's so fucking good. Like, the, like, indignant look on his face. When it's like, well, how dare anybody cheer for anyone except for me?
Yeah. And then on the 3rd of May, in front of 670 fans at Light Cube Utsunomiya, we had Kumarashi, like we already said, defeated Yuma Anzai in 1:54 by referee stop. You can draw your own conclusions about that. Go Shiozaki defeated Kengo Mashimo in 1923 with the go-on lariat. And this started like slow, but it built to like just a great match between these guys. Two great veterans just going out there and having a match and kicking each other's ass.
It's also like, I think Kengo is like, I think overall, I think Yuma Aoyagi is probably my MVP of the tournament.
Yeah.
But like, Kengo is not that far behind.
No.
He's had some really excellent matches, and I think here with Go, obviously he had a great match. But I think like where he really like excelled in some ways is like really carrying some of the like weaker guys in the tournament to like decent like his matches, match basically.
Odyssey and
yeah,
you know, that was decent. I mean, look, honestly, here's the thing. Okay, let's just talk about this now because we're on the topic. Mm-hmm. This tournament, I think, has exceeded everyone's expectations. I have not heard anyone poo-poo it.
No. Everybody has been like, this has been solid, yeah.
And let's be honest, Yuma Aoyagi replacing Cyrus was a big part of that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But two weak links are all three of the weakest links. Rei Saito, which I think was more due to injury. Mm-hmm. Talos and Zion. They all, like, especially Talos and Zion and Odyssey, they were fine.
Odyssey, I think, was still like he still had like the worst matches in the tournament.
I think Odyssey versus Anzai was good, and I think Odyssey versus Kengo was good. Yes, I agree. I'm not trying to say that everyone here was a great wrestler. I'm just saying they had better performances than I expected.
Yeah, but I mean, with Odyssey, it's also like, you know, the bar is on the floor, so
that's true too. Which I goes to the next match. Talos defeated Odyssey in 12-18 with the right leg.
I mean, kudos to Talos for like getting Odyssey up for that.
Yes. And then Block B, Hideki Suzuki defeated Madoka Kakuta in 13-48 with the backslide, and this was great. Like, Hideki didn't want to have anything of this kid. This is vintage Hideki destroying a young guy.
Ate him the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is a Dragon Gate? Come here. I'm gonna beat you up outside for half the match. And we're gonna go inside, do something real brief, and then I'll pin you with a backslide.
I feel like you can kind of get away with this because, like, Kakuta's going to the semi. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in the main event, Ren Ayabe defeated Reiki Han in 16:07 with the death roulette. And again, didn't have to go 16 minutes, no, but it was solid, perfectly fine. Good, not solid, good.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I was a little disappointed because these two obviously had a much better match.
The Royal Road.
The Royal Road, yeah.
Yes. But I don't think people were expecting much from the main eventing at Carnival Show, to be honest. But you know what? It was fine. So then we go into this whole convoluted thing of the champion carnival because we have two wrestlers out, one in each block. Corken Hall, 1,377 fans. That's a good number for them at Corken these days, especially when this isn't even the finals of the tournament. So we go to Talos defeating Kumarashi in 7:46, the choke slam. So in and out. The Goshi Ozaki pitting Odyssey in 9:46, the strong arm lariat. And what was great about this show is Go face the big guys and him just like taking a fight. It was awesome.
That was a really good look on his face when like they revealed it. It's like, oh, you're going to face Talos. And he's like, oh, motherfucker, I had to like just wrestle Odyssey for like 10 minutes and have to like deal with the other tall fucker. God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm too old for this shit.
Kengo Mishimo defeated Kento Miyahara in 15:51 with the Mudo, with the submission. And damn, this is awesome too. Another like great Kengo performance.
Yeah, great way to like eliminate Miyahara as well.
Yes. I almost think like, I don't know where we're going, but like in other ways, you probably should have been building towards like a Kengo challenging for the Triple Crown match.
Do that. Yeah. I mean, I do think, yeah. I mean, I do still think like at this point, like Go is winning pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Like, probably beating Miyahara.
I think so too. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And he beat, and then Go beat Kengo in the tournament. And that would have, maybe they had to switch that up, but that would have also been a good challenger.
Yeah.
Zion defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 12:03 with the rundown. And this is like the best Zion singles match he's had.
Yeah. Yuma sold his ass off.
Yuma's done it again.
I mean, that's why he's the MVP of the tournament, right?
Yeah. And then Ryuki Honda defeated Daisuke Sekimoto in 14:11 with the final event. Again, awesome.
No, this was like proper like, I mean, this felt like a strong BJ match, basically.
This was a strong BJ match, for sure. It was great. Kakuta versus Ren Ayabe, not bad, but I feel like it sort of took the momentum of the show down a bit after the last couple matches, right?
See, my comment for this is, Madoka Kakuta looking at Ren Ayabe and thinking, boy, Yuki Yoshioka has gotten a lot taller.
And then, of course, well, we've got all these ties. So, someone went through with 8 points that didn't have to have a match.
Kikuta went through because he beat everybody else with 8 points.
Okay. Yeah.
Even like in Block B, like Hideki went through by, like, you know, forfeit. Like, literally, like, he beat because he was going to face Drew on the final night. So he went through with 9. And then Kikuta beat Ren Ayabe, Sekimoto, and Honda. And that's why
you have to sort of use tiebreakers.
Which they normally don't. But again, like, special situation, I guess. Because,
well, save us from a three-way match, I suppose.
Yeah.
So in the Block A second place decision match, Ray Sato defeated Kengo Mishima in 450 with the crab hold. And this is a great sprint with, like, you know, Mashiro just trying to take him down and get him the quick submit. But then Ray fought back and used his power. And then in the Block A first place decision match, Goshi Ozaki defeated Towson 820 with the strong arm lariat. And this is, again, like, quick, but that was all it needed to be. And then, like, just the image of Go finishing Talos off with 2 go-on lariats was awesome, I thought.
Chop down that tree.
Yeah. So the semifinals on the 17th at Ibarra Wave Arena.
Yes,
Ota.
Of course. It's going to take a while.
Ozaki versus Madoka Kakuta, which, yeah. And then Rei Sato versus Hideki Suzuki, which, honestly, I think will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And also, think now here's the question, because Rei versus Hideki is the kind of match that you can do, like, in 8 minutes with Hideki getting a surprise pinch submission. Do you think, like, what final do you want to see? I want to see Go versus Hideki final.
That probably would be the better match. I wouldn't be shocked if they do Rei versus Go, though.
Of course. Yeah. Rei versus defending champion.
And also the other thing is, like, because obviously the final to me was going to be June versus Go. That was the original plan.
Yes.
So you just use the other Saito brother instead.
Yep.
But I do feel like, I think Go is, like, I think at this point, right, like, Go is going to win.
I think
don't
so.
Think this really.
Does Rei really offer a back-to-back shocker?
Yeah, no, I don't think that would make any sense, to be honest. Like, if I had to rank them in terms of likelihood to win, I'd probably go Hideki, Kikuta, and then Rei last.
Really? I would go Rei, Kikuta, Hideki, in all honesty.
Really?
Actually.
Oh, you don't think Hideki has a chance at all?
I mean, yeah, but very small.
Because, I mean, it depends, right? Like, if Go is not winning, then, like, right, like, you can have, like, Hideki win, and then he loses to Kento, and you do, like, Kengo Mashimo versus Kento, and then, I don't know, you do, basically, you have Kento keep the title all the way to, like, after the Royal Road.
Yeah.
And then you do, like, Honda versus Kento for the title after Honda wins the tournament.
Okay.
But I do, that's the other thing, where it's, like, basically Go's the only winner where I think he has a chance of, like, winning the title. I think if any of the other three win, I don't think they're beating Kento.
Yeah.
And with Kikuta, that becomes really fucking complicated politically, because he is still he's still going to be the Dreamgate champion by the time he challenges for the title, unless they, like they're not going to drag the champion carnival winner, like, challenging for the Triple Crown until after Kobe World. And I don't think Kikuta is losing the Dreamgate before Kobe World.
Right. That don't make sense to me. But, I mean, your Dreamgate champion did still make the semis and everything like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like, this is, like, the perfect thing. That's, like, he's losing to Go Shiozaki, where, like, that's, like, you know, that's fine. Like, you can lose, like, especially if Go then wins the tournament and wins the title. I don't think there's any issue with, like, the Dreamgate champion losing to the guy that then, like, gets a big push afterwards.
And then you can have Go. I mean, Kikuta can be Go some other point in the future, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, if Kikuta is, like, sticking around regularly, you can, like, run that match back eventually.
Yeah, for sure. Paul, I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
I watched an episode of NWA Power.
Oh yeah, I did see you posting that you were doing some research, so I had a feeling that that was happening.
Well, so far there's only been one episode of the Crockett Cup with the Titans of Calamity over, and I gotta say, Paul, they are really putting over on commentary the Titans of Calamity, and I have to give Joe Galli his credit because he really researched the Titans and All Japan, and he listed off all the previous. Nice. World Tag Team Champions, noted that these World Tag Team titles had the lineage in the PWF and NWA International titles. So on this show, we start off with a play-in match, which was a four-way tag team match. This was for the number 16 seed. So the Titans of Calamity defeated Eddie Grayson and Jack Vallor and AJ Farratt and Frank Stone and Leo Fox and Murder Man Kilbane in 249 with a double choke slam on... I can't even remember. Grayson? I don't know, even know who.
Right? Fair. Murder Kilbane.
There was this show had three matches and Titans of Calamity were in four matches and Titans of Calamity were in three of them.
Yeah, you might have. I mean, hey, look, that makes it easy at least. It's like you just really only have to watch this one episode. So
it is funny because again, Ren is being Ren. He's not trying anymore in the United States. He's not like, mm-hmm. I'm in the United States. I need to like be a sports entertainer or anything like that. Like he's just doing Ren.
I think he just, that's the thing. I just think he's not able to do anything else really.
Yeah. Real Dean Malenko. Although he's not as good as Dean Malenko in the ring, of course.
No.
And then the Crockett Cup 16 seed. Oh, this is the 16 seed play-in match. Right, because the Titans of Calamity were the last to declare, so they had to do that. And then to get the 16 seed match, so they beat Sins and Grind, which is Bam Bam Malone and Izzy James, who we recently saw in Monday Magic, was it?
I forgot about that.
And so they beat them in 305 with another double choke slam. And then, of course, the only non-Titans match is Giselle Shaw defeated Tiffany Neves to win the NWA World's Women's Television title. And then the main event of the show, this is the actual first round of the Crockett Cup after all of these play-in matches. God, I'm trying to draw this bracket. Titans of Calamity defeated the Immortals, Kratos and Odinson, in 7 minutes and 2 seconds after a double choke slam, and I think Ren pinned Odinson. And of course, Kratos and Odinson are no strangers to All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I was about to say, there. Yeah.
And Odinson a couple of tours, and then Kratos only won.
Yeah, I wonder why, because it was awful.
Yeah.
He was so bad. Remember when people were like trying to gaslight us that like Kratos is actually good? I was like, I've never.
That was later when he started working New Japan Strong. They were like, yeah. Oh, he's a great big man. Yeah. Same thing here. Odinson was carried the match and was really the glue, and like he said, he was the guy that also helped make all those matches when he was in All Japan great with the end and everything, right?
Yeah,
so
he was the work on that team.
Because Perro's not very good either. So yeah, that was it. And like I said, they just kept getting put over on the on commentary big time, and they cut a promo after this match. And Ren cut it in Japanese, and they had the subtitles on, but it was very still mundane. Like, I hope to be the best and win the tournament. Whereas Talos, cut a promo and just showed so much charisma on this show, especially in the main event, right? Like, Talos is like, looks like a fucking star in the show.
Oh, yeah. Like, they should just put the, like, NWA title on him, really.
Someone else in the Discord... Also, the VOW Discord pointed out that Taos has got to get the Thrillbilly a tour of All Japan.
Oh, really?
Are you familiar with the Thrillbilly?
I think I've seen like one or two matches of his.
So, I mean, he looks like someone that would have gotten a tour in the 1980s All Japan.
Okay. I mean, hey, why not? Sure.
Yeah. I'd be perfectly cool with that. So yeah, I'm gonna keep trying.
Is he the NWA champion right now?
I believe he is.
I mean, hey, yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
It can only be better than the last time we had the NWA champion over.
Yes, that is very true. So yeah, that is your little NWA Crockett Cup update, which is funny.
Also, that it still hasn't fully aired as well. Like,
no, when was it? I was taped on. It doesn't say. Oh no, it was taped on April 4th.
Yeah, so that's over a month ago.
But yeah, but by current NWA standards, that's not bad.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
All right, any closing thoughts then, Paul?
Nothing major. And I'm actually really curious how the Noah like tag tournament is going to go, just because it's been so fucking long since they've had that tournament.
They had it last year.
But this seems more like something they're going to do regularly again.
Yeah, they are.
So, like, again, it was something that was kind of missing from, like, the Noah, like, this time of the year calendar, basically, where, like, mm-hmm. can actually fill some time.
Yeah, for sure. And go out there and watch the Champion Carnival if you haven't. It's a lot of fun. It's easy watch, too, right? Like, yeah, I mean, there's a couple matches that probably went a little long that featured Ren Ayabe, but
no, otherwise, you know, like, I think this tournament kind of breezed by, basically, yeah.
Yeah, it was very good, and a much... this. Best Champion Carnival since... No, 2023, I believe, was pretty good. What was the one with the June versus Kento final? Is
it 2023?
Or 2024? Yeah. Suwama was
in that. I think that was 24. But otherwise, I mean, it's at the very least, it's one of the best since the pandemic. I think that's easy. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, no question to that. Absolutely that. Absolutely. All right, so we will be back... let's come back right after the Carnival finals.
Exactly. I mean, that is in 2 weeks, so that works.
Yeah, and there's some big no shows before then. And I'm excited about these Carnival finals, actually, more so than I have been in the last time, because I think I know who's going to win, but I also really want him go to win too. So I'll be excited to watch that.
Yeah, I think the final is going to be good regardless of what the actual matchup ends up being.
Go will make it happen, right? I have. Yeah. My biggest concern, though, in the back, like, forgot to mention, Go's play. We don't know how much of this is a work versus how much of a shoot, but Go's playing. He's got his ribs taped up, like, you know, is this man about to, like, fall apart in the ring type thing?
I mean,
you don't really know how much is a work and how much is a shoot.
I don't think there's even that much of a difference, to be quite honest. I do think it might literally just be the wrestler thing of, like, well, no, his body is actually falling apart, but he's just working through it anyway and using it as a storyline.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So so we'll be back after the Carnival finals, and until then, enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.